He left his throne and his kingdom to come into this world to rescue me, aren't you? Amen. What a blessed thing it is. We see what he's done for us. Truth. Ought to just help us to understand how much he loves us and how much he cares for us. I want to preach tonight on a subject, and I've preached on this before here, and it's just simple. It's hard to believe I've been here for 5 years, you know? And I look in the mirror and I can see 5 years and other things that have been added too. And, you know, you just, it's amazing how quickly time goes by. And it seems like just a few days ago we were packing up, crying, you know, just excited but dreadful. I think you can understand that. And leaving everything that me especially, everything I'd known, my kids leaving everything they had known, and to come to Tampa, Florida. And my wife knew a little bit, but get reacquainted with it. Different kind of lifestyle, different kind of people altogether, different kind of churches. And it's just hard to believe that 5 years has gone by. And our kids came down and just 9 and 11 years old, now 14 and 16, and a couple years away from our first one going to college. It's just hard to believe, you know. But I'm thankful for what God's done in my life, and I've grown. Hopefully you've seen some growth in me, and I know that in my own life spiritually, personally, I've grown in the Lord, and I've tried to be what God wants me to be. I've tried to lead the church the way God would have me to lead the church. And by the way, I have no regrets. And I make no apologies. I'm thankful for what God's done in my life and how he's allowed me to pastor the church. And what I want to preach on tonight is what I love about my church, you know? And I think we ought to think about that sometimes. And look, I want to tell you something. I'm no fool. Everybody don't love me. Everybody don't like everything that I do and how I lead or certain things about that. But that's all right. Everybody has a right to feel how they feel, and, you know, just give me the right to feel how I feel. And we just understand these things, and you make it, and you go through them, and you just go on serving God and doing what you think God wants you to do. It's better to obey God than man. And if I obeyed man, then I'd probably never moved to Tampa, Florida in the first place. You understand what I'm saying with that, too. You know, I mean, everybody says, well, what are you doing that for? You know, we had a church running 200 people and had young families and had all kinds of things going on. And for some reason, God did that, and God moved us. And, you know, I'll never say never, but this is what I know. I don't know anything about tomorrow, but I know that God has my tomorrow in his hands. I may not have another breath to make. I may not make it through this service tonight, but I'm secure in him. And whatever happens in my life, I know that it's in his control. You know, if he takes my life and I die a young man, and I'm still young, for my kids to know that, I'm still young, Joe, in faith. And but we don't know. We don't know how our days may go. And I pray that God gives me health and ability to continue pastoring, continue serving him. And my desire would be that he had just raptured us out of here and we all go home together. I would love it, wouldn't you? But I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to come in my lifetime. I don't see how it cannot be in my lifetime, but I don't know. But I do know this, whatever he does is best. However he guides, it's right. Where he leads, he proceeds, right? Where he guides, he provides. He takes care of all these things. But tonight, I just want us to look at this one verse of Scripture. We'll stand to our feet as I read the Word of God in honor of his Word. And it's verse number 18, and I'm just taking a springboard off of this, and there's many verses I could have used, because what I'm going to say is just share a little bit about my heart, and like I said, I've shared these things with you before, but under a different circumstance and under a different setting. And the last time that I dealt with this, to be quite honest with you, we were going through some very personal struggles in our lives, and not because of anything in this church, but because of things outside of the church, not because of anything in our family, just because of issues that we were dealing with. And I had to be encouraged in the Lord. And one way I found out to encourage myself in the Lord was to look and find out what you love about things. And that's where I got this message, what I love about our church. The Bible says there was a discussion going on between Jesus and his disciples, and he said in verse number 16, well, let's go back and just read a few verses. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, also unto thee, that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, not upon Peter now, upon what you just said, upon me being Christ, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What I love about our church. Father, we love you, and we thank you for what you've done in our lives. I ask you to bless the time, the fellowship that we have now together. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to unite around your word and be strengthened and encouraged by it. And I pray, Lord, that you'll guide our thoughts and our minds. And Lord, help us to see what we do have. And Lord, help us to have a great understanding of your love and compassion towards us. Help me, Lord, to reveal my heart, my soul, and what you placed in my mind and in my heart to say. And Lord, I pray tonight we'd go away encouraged and thankful. And Lord, just trust in you for each and every day of our life. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You've heard me say many times, give the description or the definition of the local church. And it's a definition that I've been taught. And I love what it says. It's a group of baptized believers that have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. That's what the church is supposed to be tonight. And we look at this, we find that the Lord Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. We find through the New Testament, all through the New Testament, we find the word church, we find that it's a local assembly. Time after time after time, very few times is it referred to anything other than that, but in the general meaning of things, but we see that God has a plan to have a local assembly, to have a body of believers that'll get His work done, that'll accomplish His will and His purpose. You know, this church hasn't sat here for all these years for no reason. It's always had a purpose. It's had a meaning for its existence. And tonight we need to realize that we still have a purpose and there's still a meaning in our existence. When we think about our church, there's a few things I want to mention. First of all, I want to mention the place of our church. This is the church. It's located right now at East Sly Avenue. But I want us to look, it's a church at Tampa. If you were to look at the different cities that we find in the Bible, our place is just as important. When Paul would write, he would write to the churches at Galatia, at Ephesus, at Philippi, at Colossae. We see how he wrote to the church at Corinth and the church at Thessalonica, at Rome. And all these were important places and these letters to them have been preserved for us by God. And every time we read, we realize that God had a church in a place. And that church, the place of that church, it wasn't the building that was so important. It was the assembly that was important. It was the people. And wherever we meet together, that's the place of this church. You understand that? That's the place where we are, and it's a place where God blesses. And tonight we ought to be thankful for what God has given to us, the church that He has allowed us to have, and to realize that this body of people are precious to Him, and they're our family. This is a church family. When we think about all that God's done through the years and sacrifices that have been made for a place, we realize how precious it is for the sacrifice to be made for this place and for other places. But if all we had was a building, it would be pathetic, wouldn't it? We have to have people. And that's what the church is all about. We put an emphasis so many times on the place when we forget that The only thing that makes this place important are the people that meet in this place. That's what the church is. These people had places to worship, and no doubt they had many precious services, and so have we. But we ought to be thankful that we have a place to come to and to worship the Lord, and to realize that we may meet here, we may meet across the street, but that's still a place for our church to meet. We may have a prayer meeting in a home, and that's a place where we meet. So we have to understand this, that God has given us something precious. He's given us an assembly of people. And we ought to love that. We ought to love that God has given us, that everywhere we meet, that we have a place that can be blessed by God. Where two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them, and we can hold on to that promise. But the second thing, and this is what I want us to see, very, very, this is it, and it's just what I've just said, is the people of our church. The people of our church. Would you look with me, and we're going to flip through the Bible here in just a few moments, and I want to give you some thoughts here. But in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 7, Paul was writing, and he says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." Now I want you to turn to the next book, the book of Corinthians. Would you look there with me? In Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 2, "Under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." So there's the place and the people. We see that saints, those that have been called out, that have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. In 2 Corinthians, we see a similar inscription given to us when the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia." Then we could go on and we could look at the book of Galatians. You say, what are you doing? I want you to see some things that these all have in common. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." So we begin to see a pattern that the people that are with Paul are the saints of God. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." We could go to Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with bishops and the deacons." And then let's go one more to Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So when we talk about the people tonight, we're talking about the saints of God that have united themselves in a local assembly. And when we talk about our church, we're talking about the saints of God that assemble themselves together here. And they ought to be precious to us. We ought to be thankful tonight for the people of our church. We find that they're saints. Now, some beliefs believe that you can only become a saint after you're dead and you performed a miracle and all of this. But my Bible says that when I trust Christ as my Savior, I'm a saint. I don't have to wait till I die to become a saint. I am a saint of God. And we need to realize that these people are saints. Those that are saved is what a saint is. And tonight, one of the things I love about our church is our people, the saints of God that are here. The people that name the name of Christ, that know that Christ is their Savior and heaven's their home, because we have a common denominator. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to the same place, and we ought to be serving Him the best we can along the way, encouraging one another along the way. The people of our church are saints. And I've written down that they're sweet. I believe we have a sweet church, don't you? We sing a song around here, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place." And the reason that people are sweet is because of the presence of the Lord in their lives. I don't know of anybody that could be as sweet as they ought to be if they don't have Christ in their life. People that come visit our church will say, we have one of the sweetest churches they've been to. And I'm happy about that, aren't you? I like the sweet spirit. I like the people of our church and their sweetness and what they stand for and just the love that they have one for another. What do you see when you look around? Does everybody look alike? Is everybody the same age? Does everybody do everything just the same way? There's a conglomeration of people here. But dear friends, if we're going to be anything for God, we have to realize that everybody has their strengths and everybody has their weaknesses. And where you're strong, somebody else may be weak, but where you're weak, somebody else may be strong. And we ought to be sweet enough just to realize things like that. I'll tell you another thing we ought to realize. We ought to realize that we all see things in a different manner sometimes, you know. Some people like this, some people like that. But if we're going to be the kind of people God wants us to be, we have to be sweet about it and have an understanding. And I'll tell you, I'll listen to somebody that has a sweet spirit before I will somebody that has a spirit of contention. And I think we all do that, don't we? I remember I had people that I worked with when I worked a secular job. And there was people that I could have conversation with. And there was some that you just never wanted to listen to because they were always contentious about everything. You ever been around somebody that's just always contentious? And I'll tell you, when you work in a public workplace, that happens, you know. Somebody always, they're always finding the fault and always finding the wrong and always wanting to gripe and complain and moan and groan about something. And what I think you find yourself doing in a situation like that is you avoid those people. And you know, you find yourself, you say you don't listen to what they have to say. But when you find somebody that they may not speak often, but when they speak, they have something to say. And it's constructive, you know, and it's helpful and it helps you to understand things. And I believe that that's part of having the sweet spirit that we ought to have. And I love that about our church. We have some of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life are part of this church. Now, we have some ornery people, too. Now, you know who you are, you know, or whether they're here or not. We, you know that. And usually when I say that, and if you start thinking, I wonder if he's talking about me, then you probably have it pegged, you know. Because you just figure it out. I wonder if he's talking about me. If you have to ask yourself that question, yeah, we've got it figured out. And some of them, I just tell them, you're who I'm talking about. You know, but they usually tell me back, I'll smack your face, you know, something like that. Oh, sweet people. Our people, I like our people. I like the singing people in our church, the songs they sing. And I love the singing of our church. We've had preachers in here, and they said some of the best music that they've heard in a long time. The specials and the choirs and just the work that goes into it. And I like the fact that we have different kinds of music. You know, everybody don't like one kind, and everybody don't like another kind. But, you know, I like a lot of different kinds of music. And I like people that when they sing, the people that sing, they take into consideration the doctrine of their song and what it can do and how it can touch somebody's heart. By the way, what you're singing about is the most important thing, and we need to understand things like that. But the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5 and verse number 18 and 19, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Well, that gives a broad spectrum of things there. Songs are to be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts. And then we talked about in Galatians how these songs are to be offered first to the Lord and to be given to us from the Lord. And the spirit that we sing them in is so very important. But I love the kind of music that we have. And I love the singing. And what I love, the people that sing the songs, I really believe they think about it and pray about it. You know? Sometimes God changes your heart. You know, we schedule things. You know that. We schedule things. And we schedule certain music. And And I'm not against scheduling music. But I want to tell you something. When God, if you're singing a song and God puts another song in your heart, you ought to be willing to change. You know, if the choir is supposed to sing the song that they sang tonight, but God really starts working in Brother Paul's heart, just because it's written down on a schedule, you know, a piece of paper don't mean anything, but the Holy Spirit means everything. We ought to be Spirit-led in our music, and I like that tonight. I like our songs. I like the things, and I like the different kinds of music. And I tell you, I like the old Stamps Backer type music. I like some of the newer music. I like some of it I do like, some of it don't like, some of it you do like, some of it you don't like. But you know what? There's a whole bunch of people here. And so what we do is we just learn, you know, to appreciate the ability that God's given and appreciate different things. There was times when in my life when I just changed about things, and I started listening more to the message of the song than to the song itself, and it helped me so much. And now there's some songs that I just don't really care about, you know, because all it does is it moves into motion. Now, I like emotions, and you know that. I mean, you saw me get excited last Sunday night. I can't help it, you know. And that's part of it. And you know, you gets a hold of you. Look, I say go for it. God gets a hold of your heart. And you know, we go to ball games and we'll hoop and holler and jump up. And, yeah, our team scored. But, you know, when we're sitting there and somebody's talking about how Jesus saved us by His blood, and we sit there like nothing happened, you know, I just wonder sometimes. We'll be moved by things and helped by things. And then I put down here, people ought to be Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, the Bible says. And I believe tonight we need that liberty. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. And I believe we have some Spirit-filled people in our midst. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What happens when we're filled with the Spirit? It'll begin to bear witness with other people's spirit. It'll begin to work in other people's lives. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1, the Bible says that we are sealed with the Spirit. We have the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So when we're saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives in our hearts, is what the Bible is saying. And so we have that privilege. The Spirit automatically lives there. But the power of the Spirit is as we walk according to His will. And if we're going to be a Spirit-filled people, we have to walk according to the will of God. And I'll tell you, there's people in our church, I believe, that walk in the Spirit of the Lord. There's people that I know, if I say we need to pray for this, I know that there's somebody that's going to be praying, that's going to get through to God. Because we have people that are filled with the Spirit. We have people that have this, who've realized that not only does the Spirit live in our hearts, but we can have the manifestation of the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. And He can move us in such a way that we realize the power that we have with God, and that God wants to do some great things in our lives. The Bible also says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So I believe the Bible is teaching us that we are to be Spirit-filled believers. And tonight, I'm glad we have some Spirit-filled people in our lives. One of the greatest things I read was in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 13. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he said, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. In other words, the spirit of Titus was refreshed by the people of Corinth. Now, who are the people of Corinth? Man, they were troublemakers. They were always having things happen in their church. Go read the first letter to the church at Corinth, and you're going to find out Paul was just on them, you know? I mean, it was like, yeah, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you're looking to the wrong person. Some say you're Paul, some say you're Apollos, you know, but it doesn't matter. It's God that gives the increase. I didn't save anybody. Apollos didn't save anybody. It's God that saved people. And then they had the trouble with divorce. They had the trouble with all the issues. They had the trouble with the tongues. They had the trouble with all kinds of things. And that first letter to the church at Corinth was just filled with things saying, you need to correct this. You need to get this right. You need to let this happen to you. But here we find in the second letter at Corinth, Paul says, I want you to know you brought joy to me. So apparently the Spirit of God's been working in some people's lives. And he says, the joy that we have, the comfort that we have, and we've joyed over, is the fact that Titus has come to you and his spirit was refreshed by you. In other words, I think when anybody comes into our church, we ought to be refreshing to people. You understand what I'm saying? We ought to be the kind of people that have a desire in our heart that when people come through the doors, we're going to do everything we can to refresh them and to encourage them and to help them. We have people from all walks of life, especially in this area that we live in. You know, there's people that have heartaches and hardships and dealing with great, great difficulties. And when they come in, they'll not find people ever sneering at them or thinking that they're less than we are. They ought to find somebody to come up and let them know we're glad they're here and that maybe we're praying for them, or maybe if you know something about them, you just say, look, I want you to know you can be encouraged in the Lord, you know, spirit-filled and having this truth about us that our spirit will bear witness with other people's spirit and we can encourage one another in the Lord. Another thing about our people, I believe we're a people of sound doctrine, a people of sound doctrine. Teachers and singers and leaders realize the importance of doctrine. Titus had a letter written to him by Paul, and Paul said, but speak thou the things which becometh sound doctrine. 16 times in the pastoral epistles, doctrine's mentioned, and I preach on that enough. I'm not going to hit on all these things tonight, but many want to do away with doctrine, but our doctrine proves what we are. What we believe. I want you to know tonight, I'm not ashamed to bear the name of being a Baptist because of our doctrine. And when I think about this, I realize that I believe we have people that consider that in picking their songs and in teaching their lessons and in realizing there's a strong doctrine here and we need to emphasize this doctrine. And there's great things that come about this. Our people and become a people of sound doctrine. Somebody came and told me just that, you know, look, I've been here 5 years. I'm not what some of you thought you were getting, you know. I realize that. I'm not the kind of preacher some people thought I was. And, you know, there's different kinds of preachers. I don't know how you can classify preachers. You know, used to it would be called city preachers and country preachers and camp meeting preachers and this kind of preacher and that kind of preacher. And to be quite honest with you, I really don't know what kind of preacher you'd call me. You know, maybe sorry. I don't know. But you know, some people thought I'd be this or some people thought I'd be that. And, you know, you heard me 3 times before you voted on me. And I'm just going to be honest with you. You can't get a feel for what somebody is in 3 times hearing them preach. Now you've heard me 5 years. Some of you thought more of me back when you'd heard me 3 times. And look, I understand that. But some of you hopefully think more of me now that you've heard me 5 years because I've tried to be consistently a preacher of the Word of God. And tried to, I emphasize that we have to be sound in doctrine. And I think this is what changed my life about a lot of things I do, about the kind of preachers I listen to, the kind of books I read, the kind of music that I enjoy, is because I started listening to doctrine. And it just changed so many things. And I tell you, I don't ever want a preacher that's going to be up here that doesn't preach sound doctrine. I don't want that. But here's the great thing. I've had people come to me and say, I heard a preacher preach this, and it just doesn't seem to be right. And I've had people say this to me. In this church, I never really thought about it before. But you've taught us to think about these things. And you know what? I don't know if anybody could have said anything greater to me than to say something like that. Because that's all I want to do is teach you what the Bible... I don't care what I think. If it's not biblical, it's not right. But if I can teach you what the Bible has to say, and that's what I ought to think anyway, was along the lines of the Bible. May the Lord help us. And then finally tonight, and I'm done. I probably preached longer. I preached longer than I meant to. Because some of you, you've got this thing on your mind that I had no idea about till this morning. Jody was thinking maybe they were going to vote us out of the church this morning. I don't know. You know, when Mickey got up here, and I was saying goodbye to everybody, and then all of a sudden I heard this voice. And I said, it don't sound like the Lord. Familiar. But anyway, the purpose of this church. What I love about our church. I love our place, and that's wherever we meet. I love our people. But I love the purpose of this church. It's a church. The Bible says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But I want to just talk to you just a moment about what our purpose is. Our purpose, number one, is the gospel. If we cease to be anything but a gospel, preaching gospel, believing church, then we cease to become a New Testament church. It's a gospel church. Now, I try to give the gospel, especially in our Sunday morning. I'll preach more gospel on Sunday mornings than I will Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, I think for obvious reasons. But not only are we to be a gospel church, our purpose is the gospel. I think another purpose is to comfort the afflicted. We ought to be a church that comforts people, that comforts those that are down and out. I've tried to be that kind of preacher all my life. That regardless of what people, oh, look, I'm not perfect. I'm so imperfect, and the people that know me best knows more of my imperfections than people that don't know me. But I found out you can't go wrong in trying to be a blessing to others. And we've had people walk through the doors of this church that were down and out, and we've tried to bring great solace to them by letting them know we care. And the reason we care is because Jesus cares. When I got saved, God changed my outlook on life. There's not a person that I know of that I hate. I'm sincere about that. There's not a person that I know of. There's ways I don't like, but I can't honestly think of somebody that I could say that I don't love and wouldn't love for them to be saved. I don't like some of the things they've done, but I love them because I know that God loves them and died on the cross for them. Our purpose is to encourage the discouraged. And I think that if we can do this, we can help our church to grow. Because there's a lot of people discouraged right now. Some people, they misinterpret things, don't they? In our effort to try to be a comfort and a help, it's brought great discouragement personally in our lives sometimes. But I found out doing what God wants us to do is a greater victory than worrying about what everybody else thinks about me. And then our purpose is to be a hospital for the hurting. There are people that are hurting everywhere. Sometimes we're just an emergency room. You know, people come in, get fixed up, and they're gone. That's not my desire. When we're a hospital for the hurting, I want it to be a long-term solution. I want them to find a place here that they can not only get healed up, but they can grow. But for some reason, God's not always allowed that to happen. But I don't ever want to quit being a hospital to the hurting just because we've not grown the way that I feel like we should grow. It's not about that. What if doctors quit doctoring, you know, just because they didn't care? I know not every one of them do, but we have to care. I care about our country. I care about the world. I care about the finances, the economy. I care about the climate. I care about the future. I care about all those things, but I want to tell you something that goes above and beyond all these things are the souls of people. And their eternity. People that are hurting need a hospital sometimes to come to. And you don't know how many people that I've said, just come to our church for a while and they'll help you. And it's happened. And I was hoping while they got here, they'd just get stuck, you know, and get addicted to it and say, I can't live without it. It's not always happened. But we're not going to quit serving people. That's what I love about our church. I love that we have a purpose. I don't know what God has for us. I was hoping we'd be bigger by now. I was hoping we'd have more people. I was hoping that certain things would have happened by now. But our life is in the hands of the Lord. And this church is His, it's not mine. I'm the pastor, but He's the head. And I love this church. And as long as God allows me to pastor here, that's exactly what I want to do. And I want to be the best pastor that I can possibly be. But I can't do it alone, and two or three of us can't do it. It takes every one of us sharing and bearing the load together. Praying for one another, encouraging one another, being sweet, being right, having the purpose, loving the Lord. May God help us. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. The Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. We're not trying to build a kingdom or a church or anything like that here. But we're trying to be what God wants us to be. May the Lord help us. I know I've been somber about this tonight. Sometimes it's because my age is catching up with me and I can't believe I'm 5 years older. Another thing is sometimes your expectations, you thought you might be further along and you just wonder, what do I need to do to help us? Well, what I'm saying tonight is we all need to be praying and asking God to help us and doing our part. Maybe you'll need to come tonight and just commit some things to the Lord, or maybe God's spoken to you about something totally different than what I've preached about, but you know in your heart that God wants you to come. And you know, there may be several come to the altar, may not be a soul come to the altar. That's fine. I want you to do what God wants you to do. But as we consider this, I want you to think about what God's blessed us with and ask ourselves, what am I doing to help this to be the church that God wants it to be? Have I taken for granted what we have? Do I love my church the way I should love it? I put my life and influence into it the way I should? You know, God just works in our hearts different ways sometimes. Let's be obedient. Lord, please have your way. May we honor you tonight by doing what you have put in our heart to do. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. What page was it?
155.